Good morning, everyone. Can I send a very warm welcome to you all? And especially those who are visiting with us this morning, a very, very special welcome. This service is maybe slightly different. We're hearing the feedback of the people that have been on mission over the last 12 months. So they'll be coming up being interviewed, and we'll hear of their experiences, how they have served God over the last 12 months. Now, just a few announcements, if you just bear with me. Our AGM will take place at the Sunday lunch that everybody is invited to. Now, I know there was about 75 names down the list, but if you haven't put your name down, you're thinking, oh, I forgot to put my name down. There's plenty of stuff, because actually I never put my name down, and I plan to go as well. So please do, if you like, to come up to the hall for the Sunday lunch afterwards. That would be great. And there'll be no tea and coffee in Solid Ground this morning. In regard to the Sunday lunch, we planned that if you just leave a donation up at the lunch, just to cover the costs, and that will go towards our mission pot, which one of the things we do is that we support Mark and Caroline Welch out of it. So that would be good if you could. Also, just next Sunday, in your announcements, it's all in your announcements, but we should read about next Saturday, we have a car wash and a coffee morning in aid of MS. And that Saturday night, there is a ladies' fellowship service in Clocky. So please do read them details. And then next Sunday, our harvest service will take place in Clocky at 10 a.m. and 6:30. And our harvest in Grey Abbey is on the 20th of October, as usual. And next Sunday, our BB enrollment will take place here. And with regard to the Grey Abbey harvest, you know, our church is decorated each year very tastefully. And there is only maybe a handful of ladies take that role on. And they would like some more help if need be. So if you're artistic in that way, or even if you're not artistic at all, come along. You could always place an apple in the right place or a flower in the right position. That would be great. So that will take place on the Friday before Sunday, the 20th of October. And if you need any more details, if you speak to Nance, she'll organise and tell you what's inquire. So also, just to please note that there's Travel and Adventures on Friday the 11th. Read it in your announcements. And then this is the last Sunday for the United Appeal Collection. And again, if you think, oh, I forgot my envelope, we'll not refuse it next Sunday as well. And then just remember, the men, we're going for a night out on the 12th of October. If you haven't your name down, see Michael or Phil Allen, and that will be a good night out. That's on Saturday the 12th of October. So we're here to worship God. And as we think about mission, God has called each and every one of us to mission. No, you know, it's very easy to say mission is for somebody else, but it is for each and every one of us. From the end of the pew till we come back into the pew, we mission each and every Sunday and all days of the week. So we stand and sing our first praise, which is God calling us to mission. And it's a wonderful praise near and far. Let us stand and sing.
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we recognize that you are gentle, yet powerful, lowly, yet almighty, shepherd, yet king. Lord, we know that every gift comes from you. So as we gather to worship you this day, we know that you are an awesome God, greater than our comprehension or our imagination. You are beyond any words that we could offer to describe you. And yet, through Jesus, we know that you love us. Lord, we welcome you here in this place, now in our midst. Empower us to praise you, not with words or actions which come from outside of us, but from within us. Dwell in us fully that we may sing to you with thankful hearts. Fill us with a sense of your joy, that we might actually delight in your worship. Focus us upon your love, which is above every love that we have ever known. Forgive us, Lord, for not being the person that you would want us to be this week. We ask that you may correct us so that we may become more like you. So, Lord, in this time of silence, we ask for our corrections in you. Lord, you call us into mission. Teach us what we need to know. We thank you for those who serve you. This morning, we thank you especially for the work that has been done in your name among people here in the Philippines. And as we hear more about their work, open our ears to hear what you hear, and open our eyes to see what you see, and open our hearts to the things that is breaking your heart. Then show us what work that you have given us to do. We ask for your special gifts to be used for your glory. So, Lord, show us this day what these gifts are and how we may use them. Lord, we know you open those who knock. Help us to step forward now into your gracious presence, knowing that you are each and are blessed by you in so many special ways. Lord, stir us up so that we don't become too self-satisfied and forget about keeping asking, seeking, and knocking. May your Holy Spirit surround us and indwell in this congregation now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's on the announcements, Neil is supposed to be arrived by now. And he's supposed to interview Ellie and Alex. So I'm going to ask them to come up. I'll ask you a few questions. Come on up. Somebody said to me out there, if Neil doesn't come up, just wing it. And I says, I do not know how to wing things. But we go. Well, welcome. Tell us where you have been and how did you serve God this summer?
Okay, so we went to a camp in Port Stewart with CEF. So it was an interest camp. So the kids were around about age 9 till about 16. So we went for a week. And what we were doing there was we stayed in a primary school in Port Stewart. So we would do meetings and little activities with the kids. And there was probably about 30 to 40 kids at it. So there were quite a lot, but we did have a little problem with leaders. So we were really, really short in leaders. So the entire week was pretty hands on deck for everybody involved. So personally, for like the first time doing it as a leader, it was quite scary going in, having to do everything and just being thrown in the deep end. But it was really encouraging the whole week to see the kids sort of grow from what they were at the start and develop in their relationship with God and just grow more towards us. And get more confident during the week. So, yes.
Hey, thanks very much, Ali. Alex, yeah. Tell us one thing that stands out of that week for you.
I just have to say that I actually wasn't there the whole week, and Clocky neatly described me as a part-timer because I actually couldn't get the whole week off work, and I wasn't originally meant to be helping at the camp. But as Ellie had mentioned, they were really low in leaders, and they had a couple of leaders drop out last minute. So that's why I was there, hopefully to kind of help some of the leaders who were there too, to kind of take away some of the stresses. So I forgot what your question was. We're really doing well.
One thing that stands out.
Sorry. Sorry. One thing that stood out. For me, I think when I went there, I wasn't there till like halfway through the week. And when I got there, I was there like really late at night. I think I arrived at like midnight. Everyone was in bed and was talking to a few of the leaders. And the first thing the leader said to me was that the kids are really, really open. So I was like, oh, great. So we'll see what happens. So next day, we were doing craft, I think. And this guy came up to me and introduced himself. And within about 10 seconds, had pretty much just told me his whole life story. And it was pretty, it was pretty emotional. And for me, I just thought, isn't that incredible that they can come to camp and really open up? I have done camp multiple times, but this boy's never been there before. So he never knew me and just completely opened up. And I just thought it was amazing. Like, the kids were going through a lot. And I think this year in particular, I am definitely so many children going through so much at such a small age. But it was just amazing that they were really wanting to talk to us. And they were talking to each other, and hopefully they got the support that they were wanting.
You know, we live in a society now that young people are under a great deal of stress and strains, whether family life or church life or whatever. Do you think there is a real need within the young people for hearing about God where you've been?
Yeah, definitely. I think what we have found before in camp, especially, is that there's children that are coming up and they're going to camp, and they kind of go through this thing that every year they come to camp and they're maybe a bit down in their faith, and then they come up and they're so filled with the Holy Spirit and everything's going really well, and then after they leave camp, they just go back to the same ways. They go back to school and they maybe just can't live out a Christian life. So that's something we were really trying to address this year in camp, really trying to address like skills that they need to kind of go into schools and to do different things like that, so that they don't keep going into this kind of like up and down sort of like spiritual thing. Don't know how to describe it, but and then actually last night, we actually haven't spoken about this, but last night they just started a new thing for the children who were at camp, which is, I think they're meeting once a month, and they're meeting, and it's pretty much for all the children that age, probably like 11 to 15, 16, and it's really just so they can get that support that they need, so that it's not just camp for a week, but also that they get support of meeting people their age and praying together and hopefully getting people into churches if they're not ready. So, yeah.
And Ellie, finally, what would you say to some people that were thinking, maybe I'll do it next year? What would you say?
So obviously going into it, it's quite scary not knowing what's going to happen, but everyone's going to get that at the start. So like, anything you sign up to at the start, you're going to be really, really scared to do it, but just go and do it, because it really does make everything, like, so if you do one, it makes all the other ones easier, so much easier to do. And getting to know and throwing yourself in the deep end and getting to know the whole team of leaders that does it really helps as well, because the closer you get to them, the more enjoyable it is for you and the more you get out of it at the end. So just throw yourself in and do it.
Well, thank you very much, ladies. Thank you indeed. That's great. Neil has arrived. But now we stand and sing our second praise, and it's filled with compassion. Let us stand and sing.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not going to apologize for being late, because hearing all the stories that we've heard this morning already in Clocky, it's worth being a few minutes late for. I want to invite you now to turn with me to God's Word as we hear another story that sort of, we're not going to preach on this passage today, and when Kelsey arrives, she's certainly not going to preach on this. She has her own passage that she wants to bring us to, but I just thought this passage is something for us all to think about as we listen to these young people responding to God. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. This is where God calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. I am going to invite now Zara and Emily to come up. And we believe you have got some slides. Who went first? You. Cool. So these two girls went with SU. So we had a wee competition down in Clockey. SU, who knows what it stands for? Excellent. Who knows what CEF stands for? No, City Electrical Factors. You see it all the time driving around Bangor or Coleraine or Lisburn. I just struggle with CEF. As a former electrician, who used to get into those places all the time. But no, it stands for Child Evangelism Fellowship. And that's where that's the organization these two ladies were serving with. Oh, you were SU, sorry, the CEF were all. You were SU, of course, Scripture Union. So, Emily, tell us where you went and what you did.
So I went to junior camp, which was in Mullingar, and it's for children between P7 and like year 10, year 11. They get to choose whether they stay at junior or go on to senior. But most stay at junior because it's the best, of course. So our theme for the week was "Are You Ready?" And so at night time we had our talks, and it was sort of like based on Bible characters who maybe people thought were maybe a social outcast or had questions that they used as excuses for why they didn't become Christians. So like they were too smart, they had too much stuff. And in seminars it was "Are you worthy?" "Are you courageous?" Stuff like that based on David. And of course the new Lion King coming out at the time of camp, their slogan was "Are you ready to meet the king?" Of course that was like great. So because we were preparing these children to meet the king of kings. So the camp dorms were like based around the Lion King characters. It's gonna work. Okay. So yes, it was in Mullingar in Wilson's Hospital School. So it's like a big boarding school, I think run by the Church of Ireland. So you might have seen it in the back of like the Herald. It's always advertised. It's got really great facilities and different stuff like that. So being at camp, we're with them 24/7. They've got a very busy schedule. As you can see, you have to turn up to everything with a big smile on your face. The children see you at your worst and at your best, so you have to always have it be smiling and positive and ready to go. And there's not very much, as we were talking about in Clocky, room for sleep. It's a wee blue bit at the bottom. And of course, if you wanted to get up for the morning swim or run, you'd even less sleep.
The morning what?
Run or swim.
The morning run or swim.
Yes.
There would have been more blue in my timetable, I think.
Yeah. I went to this camp as a camper in Scotland, and I never went to the morning run or swim. But this year on the Sunday morning, the fire alarm went off at 7, so I thought as I was up, might as well do the run. I regretted it instantly. The campers were way fitter than me. So this was some of the campers as we were preparing for our evening meetings. It was a really good time to sort of get to know them and get to talk around our passage and get to worship, of course. And the kids were so good this year. They were so willing to listen and to talk about their faith. And they were just really enthusiastic about it. So this is our team. It was quite a lot. We're missing two people. One of them's me, if you haven't already guessed. But they left a wee space for me and Derek, so that was helpful. They were mainly from Ballymena, so I came home with a bit of an accent, but that was as expected. We did lots of big game activities. So this was our murder mystery. I was Moana, and my boyfriend in the story had been brutally murdered, and they had to go around trying to find out who killed him. So we had like pirates and crabs using sports cones, as you can see in the bottom picture.
That's not a story from the Bible, is it?
No, it's all okay. And mermaids and different stuff. So they really enjoyed that. So this is a picture of why I wasn't in the picture earlier on. Wednesday we went to Dundrum Shopping Centre, and obviously the shopping took it out of me a bit more than I expected. Coming home, it didn't go straight to plan. I ended up in Mullingar NE for 7 hours that night with some of the leaders, but it was great crack. We played I Spy, and you have like 24 hours in NE, there's always those people who sit there in the waiting room for like the whole program, and they provide the entertainment. We were like, that was us, that was our role. But I also have up the Bible verse from my seminar that I was meant to do, and didn't quite get onto that. But it was Psalm 139, and sort of reminded me that even though my body seemed to fail me halfway through the week and I had to come home on the Thursday, I was still wonderfully made by God, and it was his plan that I didn't go the whole week. But next year, I will make it to Saturday. I am determined.
Excellent, thank you. So Zara, come you and share with us where you were at?
So I was down at a camp, an SU camp down in Kilbrony, down in the Mourne Mountains. So it was a camp for 12 to 15-year-old girls, a week long in July. And it's quite a small camp. We had about 16 girls to 10 leaders, so it really is like a really special camp where it's just like big sisters and little sisters coming together to grow in their faith. A lot of the girls come from Christian homes and church backgrounds, so it's all about, you know, deepening their faith and really encouraging them to dive deeper and to share their faith with those around them. So this picture is just from our Hunt the Leader we did down in Newcastle. So although there was lots of learning and Bible stuff, there was also lots of fun. So we had our Hunt the Leader. We had a food fight. Well, it was games turned food fight turned water fight. And there was also different activities. So they went bouldering up in the moorings and canoeing. And then this is just a photo of the leaders from the party on the Friday night. So it was lots of fun. Our theme for the week was the greatest love, and teaching the girls just about, we started the week with a gospel talk, just all about God and how he loves them. And then our verse for the week was from Matthew 22. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. So just teaching the girls how they can love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, soul, and mind, and then how they can share that love with those around them as well.
Excellent. I just want to state for the record, there will be no food fighting today. Our meal is about fellowship, so no food fight. Don't you be starting anything. It's the quiet ones you have to watch. Obviously, when you go on these things, you've got expectations, and then the reality of the thing. In the midst of all of that, there's challenges and blessings. Would you like to share? We've heard a wee bit about your challenges already, mate, haven't we? A&E was not part of your plan, but there we go. Zara, would you like to share with us your challenge and blessing?
Yeah, so there's just one wee story I wanted to share about how I was challenged during the week. So on the Thursday night, we always have a campfire. So we're down in the morning, so we go out into the forest behind, and we have a campfire, and it's always a really special night. We start, you know, with s'mores and camp songs, and then we go into a time of worship, and often the girls then share, and it's just a really powerful night. And this year on the Thursday night, we all went out and it was all going well. We had our s'mores and our camp songs, and then there's a campsite just behind us, and there was sort of a couple of men out shouting things and getting on, and the girls were starting to feel a bit scared because obviously it was dark. So we decided to, right, we'd just end the campfire and we'd all come back inside. And the leaders, we were sort of walking back and we were thinking, oh, that didn't really go as planned. That's normally a really powerful night, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And we all went back and we're just sitting around in the sort of like the meeting room. And I don't really know how it started, but I think a couple of girls just got up and we started just worshipping and singing, and we just got the words up. And it sort of ended up just in this time of worship that went on into like 2-3 in the morning, and it was completely not planned. The leaders, we hadn't planned any words or anything, and it all just sort of came together, and it was a really powerful night, and girls came to us for prayer, and yeah, it wasn't the night we had planned, but it was the night, obviously, that God had planned, and yeah, it was just a real eye-opener for me to just leave our plans at the door and just let God work, because he does amazing things.
That's amazing, too, that the actual challenge became the blessing as well. That was wonderful. What about blessings for you, Emily? Or were there other challenges? We heard about one of them, but there may have been others.
No, I really did enjoy it. There was hardly any challenges apart from that. But anyway, I'm not really the most sportiest person, as quite a lot of you probably already know. So some of the big team games, I sort of was like, okay, I'll sit out. That would be the best option. But I meant I was able to get quite good conversations with some campers who were maybe the same. And like, I did hope to sort of continue them on as the week went on, but that wasn't the plan. But hopefully the seeds planted in them will water, and we have reunion in a few weeks' time. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get those seeds back up again. But what maybe I could have thought is, maybe this is not meant to play games, just sit out and just do nothing, is able to talk to those kids who maybe felt the same. So that's,
God makes us all different for a reason. Now, God didn't get all the work out of you that he was maybe hoping to get, but we're going to get a bit more work out of you now. So Emily is going to invite the boys and girls up to the front, and she's going to go down and speak to them down there. And I think the microphone is down there as well. Then after this, the boys and girls, you're staying in today, so whenever Emily's finished talking to you, there are some pictures here that you can take and colour them in, or word searches at the end. Thank you, Emily.
Hello? Okay, does all of the children want to come down to the front? And I'll just talk to them for a minute or two. Okay, so whilst a few more people maybe come. Today's church is a wee bit different, isn't it, to normal? Because normally you would be going out to K4C or creche, but today you're staying in to hear about what some people in church have been doing over the summer for God. Some people went to Clocky, which isn't that far away, but some people went right across the world. So does anybody know what this is, what I have with me? Yep, Emily. Yep, it's a globe, well done. And I had to Google this because I wasn't too sure, but there's over 7 billion people who live in the world, which is a bit strange. Like, it's hard to think of so many people living in what we see as such a small place, but obviously it's not small at all. There we go. At SISM, which you'll hear about in a wee second, I was with the Minnows, and we were doing a pirate adventure and sailing on the four seas. And the last sea was Commission, so it's about the Great Commission, which is a story in the Bible. So I'm going to ask Sarah to come and read it for us.
Yes, this is just verses 19 and 20, which says, "So go and make followers of all people in the world, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world."
Thank you. So there's a few words in there that you might not quite understand. So in the translation that Zara just read, it says followers, but some Bibles it says disciples. And does anybody know what a disciple is? Anybody know it? A follower of Jesus. Well done. So yes, that is it. So when we become Christians and follow him, we are his disciples. And in Matthew, Jesus is telling the Great Commission to his 12 disciples, but we can still use it today as we are his disciples as well. So you don't have to go in a team like we have done to be talking about God to others. God uses you in everywhere you go, and he wants you to tell people about his love in your school, in your football team, and your dance class, or whatever else you get up to during the week. And it's not just for you, he wants the adults to do it as well in their work and in anything else that they do. So in a minute we're going to pray, okay, and I'm going to give you a suitcase. Now the suitcase looks a wee bit like this, okay, and it has the Bible verse. That, well, part of the Bible verse that Zara just read to us. But in it, there's these four bits of paper, okay? And they're to remind you of the Great Commission. So the first bit of paper is a globe, and this is to remind you of all the people who don't know about God yet. And some of those people might be your neighbours, or the person you sit beside in class, or your teammate who you play beside in one of your sports. So it's just to remind you that you can tell God's love to anybody. And next one is this wee bubble, wee thinking bubble. Sometimes people might not think a lot, but they always do a wee bit. So whenever you knew God, whenever you love him and you've understood what he's done for you by dying on the cross, and you grew in God like a wee leaf, by reading your Bible and praying to him, God will go with you. Got a wee shoe. I know it can be scary sometimes to go and to tell others about him. I'm sure if you ask any of us that are speaking today, we can say that we were scared, a wee bit scared to have to go and talk to people, because some people don't want to hear what you say, and they might not agree with what you say either, and that might be hard. But what you know as a Christian, as a disciple, as a follower, God is always with you. Okay, so I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to give out your recent cases, and then we'll hear about another team. Okay, let's pray. Oh, before I pray, at Schism, I don't know if anybody remembers, we just sing with the arms, okay? So we're going to do this, and I want all the adults to join in as well, okay? So arms out, side, and up, and across, and up, and then together, and then down. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for the chance that we have to come and to hear about what you have done over the summer through people in our church. And I just pray that you would help us as we go out into our school and our work to share about you, and I pray that we wouldn't be scared, and that we would know that you are with us no matter what. Amen. Okay, so if you want to come up and get your recent case, and then we'll keep going. Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant. We're going to sing, and then after we sing, come up and get your recent cases, get some pens and some of these papers, and then you go back up to your seats. Okay. So what Emily was telling you to do, sometimes you need to be bold and be strong, and that's what we're going to sing about now: being bold and being strong to tell people about Jesus. To be faithful to hearing from all the young people today. So our offering will be a way of retiring offering. So we are going to get the money out of you, but we'll just get it on the way out the door. So I want to invite now up Josh, Holly, and Emily. Again, you're hogging the limelight. They're going to come up. Now, to continue the theme of our competition, who knows what CSSM or SISM stands for? Is that where you met Glenn? No. That's not what it stands for. That's the big joke. Because that's the one. Thank you. Children's Special Service Mission. That's what it really means. But lots of people have gone to SISM teams, single, and met their future husband or wife. So that's why it gets the nickname, Come Single, Soon Married. So you're out of this one, big man. Anything to tell us, girls? No, not at this stage anyway. So tell us, where did we get you up here? You travelled far. Tell us the exotic location in which you served.
So, yeah, we didn't get to go too far. We were down in Clocky, Presbyterian Church.
That is the Clocky on the peninsula, not another. There's not another exotic Clocky somewhere.
And we're very thankful some of you helped out and everything with the food and stuff as well. And we also travelled quite far some days to Port of Ogie as well. We helped, we did a bit in one of their halls down there as well.
Excellent. Holly, this was your first team. Share with us what that was like, just the process of deciding to do it or not do it.
Okay, so when Neil asked me this in Clocky, I don't think he was too impressed with my answer.
I wasn't impressed with all of their answers at the start, but they got better.
Okay, so basically my cousin and her boyfriend, Lissy and Jack, they did this SISM last year and all they did was talk about it. They raved about it. They came to me and they were like, you're doing it. So I was like, okay, and pretty much filled in the application form for me. So nothing really big or spiritual, but I'm glad they did it. So,
God works in mysterious ways. So, Emily, you've been busy over the summer, mate. Why? Now, SISM, you went to SISM first, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I had a week between SISM and camp.
Busy week between SISM and camp?
I slept the whole time.
So, share with us a wee bit about what you were doing in the SISM team in Clocky.
Okay, so I was with the Minnows, that was the youngest age group in the morning, and they didn't have an evening session, so I was with the Sardines, which is like the next oldest up. So it was lots of craft with the younger ones, took a lot of patience. They like glitter, they like paint, they like a lot of glitter and paint in their craft, so it was like chill on that. But no, we did about, as I said earlier, the four C's, and it was just so encouraging to see so many kids come. And then, of course, I'm sure some of our people will talk about it later on. Friday was just an incredible day for us. Friday night, we came all back. We were all crying by the end of it. Just like God was so working in all of those kids. It was really encouraging to see. Yeah.
Holly, would you like to share with us, what age group were you working with? What were the challenges, blessings of the week?
So in SISM it's split up into four age groups. So you have the Minnows, which are the little ones Emily was with, then the Sardines, which is 7 to 11, the Pikes, 11 to 14, and the Sharks were the oldest group. So going into SISM, I was like, well, I'm one of the youngest leaders, so I'm probably going to get one of the little groups. But no, I was thrown into the Pikes. So they weren't very much younger than me. You know, we're only talking a few years. So with all the material, like, I found it hard. So I was really struggling with, like, well, if I don't understand it, how am I going to teach these kids about it? Obviously, then God worked his magic as he usually does and was able to help me out. I just found that like really challenging. But then in the groups, Megan and I, our wee small group, we kind of focus, well, Emily, do you want to turn around a wee second? Yeah. So our kind of like theme was be brave. And we also had t-shirts which said light out of darkness. So the whole idea was to go out and to share, you know, be the light in the darkness, you know, go out, be brave, tell everyone about God and share how he's changed your life. So within our little small group, two of the girls, Stella and Kendra, gave their life to God, which was like, you can't get any better than that. So, and then found out more so on the Friday that three other children throughout all the other age groups have given their life to the Lord. So we had five children that week, and also, like, you know, you can't ask for any more than that. That was like the best news. But we all hoped maybe one, but we got five. So
brilliant.
Great, yeah.
That is certainly a blessing. Never mind all the other things. Josh, what about you? How were you challenged in ways that you maybe hadn't thought, and what blessings did God give you that?
The biggest blessing for me, I found, whenever I went down there, I knew some of the leaders, but I didn't know a lot of them. A lot of them were from all different arts and parts of the country. And it was really good because it was about 30 or 40 leaders or so. Sort of 30 or 40 leaders. And I thought, you know, at the start, people will sort of form wee cliques and stuff, just with that size and numbers. But the camp actually started on the Monday, and a lot of us came down on the Saturday, and we just had 2 days of getting to know each other and just growing in relationship with all the leaders. At every mealtime, we all had wee name cards, and basically they mixed them up every day. So you were sitting beside different people and getting to know everybody, and the team was really united. It says in the Bible, you know, where there's unity, there's blessing. And I think every night the team time was so special whenever we start to hear back about the conversations that the leaders were able to have with the kids, the questions that they were asking, some of the things that they were able to pray for them and with them, and just hearing all the experiences that they were having and coming back together, that was really good. The hardest part for me was probably leaving. I actually went to a stag do on the Saturday, and I had to leave early. It was one of the hardest things, actually leaving the group, just because everybody was so so close and so united that I don't think anybody wanted to leave. That was probably the hardest part of it, and just that down sort of period as you left, because it was such a special week.
I think that is part of the thing when you come home. Would that be your experience, girls, that when you come home? Well, your second one, you were on a downer because you had to come home really early. But what's it like when you come off the back of the team that you've served on? What's that week like afterwards?
So obviously, like as Josh was saying, like we were such a big family, and you know, still like you're still obviously like remaining in contact with like all the people that you did serve with. So when you're around all those people for a week, like a week's a long time when you're with everyone constantly. But you do miss it. Like the first morning you wake up and you're not surrounded by everyone, like you're not around like all the love that they provided and all the support. Coming off that though, like it is hard because you're so centered around God, around everyone. But then when you go out, like you're talking to people who aren't Christian, so and all you want to do is tell them, but that is hard. Like so. Although we were teaching the children to be brave and be the light in the darkness, like we have to do that too as leaders. We were like, you know, we have to do it as well. How are we meant to tell children to do this but not do it ourselves? So I think that's what we kind of decided we would focus on, is being the light in the darkness. So, yeah.
It is a great opportunity. I've served in various wee teams and things for a week. If your whole life was a SISM team, after 3 weeks you'd be totally exhausted and your body would be completely broken, but it does give you that sense of a real intense time with God, but it fills you up to go and do that, and I'm sure everybody would share that same experience. So folks, thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Colin's going to come now, and glad to see you here, mate. I was just wondering if you're here. Bad as George waiting for me, Colin, but you're here, good. We're going to hear from Kelsey in a wee moment, but Colin's going to come and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we are able to meet here today freely. We remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not able to meet openly and praise your name. We remember those who are in prison for their faith. May they inspire and embolden their fellow believers to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. God of all comfort, for those who are tortured both in body and mind, give them the grace to endure and to see their suffering as part of following in Christ's footsteps. We pray for our church leadership as they consider how we as a church can further your kingdom, both here on the Ards Peninsula and throughout the world. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make us ever mindful of our brothers and sisters around the world who need us to stand with them as they suffer in your name. We pray that you embolden us as we continue to support our global mission partners, both financially and through our prayers. We pray for all those contributing to Operation Christmas Child, and we pray that through receiving a small gift, the children throughout the world would realize that you offer them the greatest gift of all. We pray for the children being educated in Uganda through the support we have given to Abana. We especially remember the children who visited with us earlier this year. Watch over them, God, as they develop into young leaders in their communities. We pray for the continued work of Tear Fund. We remember especially their work in Tanzania, where years of drought have left 17 million people in extreme poverty. As we continue to see the human impact of climate change, God guide us as to how we as a church and as individuals can act as stewards in protecting your creation. Let us be your agents of grace in all aspects of our lives, God, and guide us each day to live lives that reflect the glory of your kingdom. Heavenly Father, in your holy name we pray. Amen.
And just before Kelsey comes up, you know, we've just heard today from the people who could be here who were serving. And Haley would love to have been here today, but she has to work in the care home and couldn't get a swap or couldn't get today off. And we would have heard a little bit about the five-day clubs that happened through CEF. And all of the young people who have been up speaking have been involved in that, along with maybe others in our congregation. If you were involved in the five-day clubs, stand up. There we go. We've heard from two. There's actually three of the really cool boys up at the back who can't come down. So they were involved as well. Yes, Matt as well. So you can see that there was those along with, I don't know how many people were in the team altogether. How many? About 20 leaders. So a lot of our young people and our young people operating in six villages and through various types of weather, outdoors all the time. They don't use halls, or they use big sheets of plastic if it's chucking it down, which it invariably does. But again, it's all the same things. Telling young people about Jesus. Thank you, folks. You can sit down again. Thank you. And there's that great mixture of some of those more fellowshipy type, sharing as big sisters, little sisters, sharing with younger people. And we have one other person who couldn't be with us today, and that's Jill Stewart, Daphne's daughter, who served in Swaziland. Over in the southern tip, just beside South Africa, isn't it, Heather? Just beside border South Africa, a very small village there. She was working in that small country. But we're going to hear from Jill in January when she comes back from there. And there's been an exciting development from that trip as well. They're bringing a choir over, so we're going to have a worship night down in Clochie. They're going to be a bit of a partnership with the primary school down there. So that was one person going on one trip and how that's opened up for us as a congregation. So God is really at work through mission at home and a quarter of a way around the world in Africa and halfway around the world in the Philippines. So we're going to hear from Kelsey now. She's going to come up and share with us her experience there.
Good morning. It's great to be here this morning and share with you a bit of how God has provided for me over the past year and a bit, and just testify to his goodness and hopefully encourage you all this morning. For those of you who don't know me and maybe joined the church since I've been away, I'm Kelsey. I'm 24 and just over a year ago I graduated from university in Glasgow, where I studied French and comparative literature, and following that I spent a year in the Philippines with Wycliffe Bible Translators as part of something called Grad Team. I'm not going to go into too much detail this morning about what Wycliffe Bible Translators do. They do so much, and if you want to read more about that, I've got some materials here that will be upstairs when we go for lunch afterwards that you can grab. You can take those away, and there's some really powerful stories in there that are worth a read. But Grad Team is a year-long kind of exposure for recent graduates to go overseas for a year as a team. There were three of us on my team, myself and two other guys from England. And yeah, it's an opportunity to find out more about what Wycliffe do and whether or not working overseas as a missionary is something that you would like to do in the future. So it's just to explore that a bit more. This morning I want to talk about when God says go, and when God says go, but we think no. So I'll take you back to before I went to the Philippines, when I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do and if this is something that I felt God was calling me to. I read the information sheet for Grad Team, and when I read that, I thought, wow, this is exactly what I want to do. It was as if someone had written a job description, or as if I had written my own dream job description. And I thought, great, and I read on down to the bottom and I saw the cost, and it said it would be between £11,000 and £15,000. So I thought, well, forget that. There's no way that's going to happen as a recent graduate with, you know, student loan, not being working. There's no way that's possible. But I was forgetting that our God is the God of the impossible. And 2 weeks, about 2 weeks after I decided that I definitely wasn't going, I attended something called Discover Wycliffe, which is 2 weeks where you just find out more about what Wycliffe do. The Wycliffe isn't just translators. You know, they need IT support and pilots and teachers and a whole range of roles. So it's kind of to find out more about where you might fit in that. And throughout those 2 weeks, I just continually heard story after story of how God had provided financially for people to serve him overseas. And God speaks to us in different ways. And sometimes he has to bring up a passage a couple of times or a couple more than that for me to realize that he's trying to say something to me. And I recognized this pattern when I kept hearing story after story of financial provision. And I couldn't ignore that. And yeah, so I started praying. I was like, God, you're showing me that you provide for people to serve you overseas, but are you going to provide for me to serve overseas? And I still wasn't too sure, but I was a bit more open to it. And I headed back to Glasgow for my final year of university, and I moved into a new flat, and I needed a duvet. So I thought, okay, well, if God provides, I'll pray for a duvet. So I did, and 2 days after that, my flatmate messaged me and said, Kelsey, do you need a duvet? I've got a spare one. And I said, yep, great. And shortly after that, I learned that my student loan was being cut by over £1,000 that year, and it meant that I wouldn't have enough money to cover my rent and to feed myself for the year. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to have to look for some part-time work. And that was something I was quite worried about, because being in final year, I've got a heavy workload, and you know, it's not ideal to have to balance work alongside that. But I prayed about it and prayed that God would provide, and I applied for a job in IKEA. I love IKEA, so I thought, if I'm going to have to work anywhere, that's where I want to work. So I applied, went along the assessment day, and I had a great time. I absolutely loved it, and I got offered the job. And when they were telling me about the role, they needed me to work more hours than they had told us, and I wouldn't be able to cut that down until I'd worked 6 months. And I was like, this isn't the right fit. I was there to get a degree, and I had to remember that. So I turned the job down, not knowing if I'd done the right thing, and continued praying. And a couple of days after that, someone who I'd met a couple of times gave me the money that I would have earned if I had taken that job. So I was just overwhelmed after that by God's provision for me, just in my personal life. And I just thought, there's no way that I can let money be a reason why I don't even apply to grad team. And so I did. I started that process, and I started the process of fundraising. And I want to thank you very much for all the financial support that you've offered, and prayerful support, and even just dropping me an email here and there. That was amazing. It was such a support, and I felt like I was still part of this congregation, and that's something that not everyone who goes overseas to serve God in mission experiences. So thank you very, very much for that, and I hope that you're encouraged by that and continue to support people in mission, because as a congregation, you're really good at that. So thank you. And the provision didn't stop there. So then I headed off to the Philippines, and part of the work was going around visiting different projects. And one of those opportunities was to an island called Capel. It's a beautiful island. I've got some pictures of it here. So it's a 16-hour bus journey away, and then you get a nice little boat across to an island where there's no phone signal, no internet. It's completely off the beaten track. And we had been asked to come here to pair up with college students to go around door to door selling New Testaments that had been translated in the language Inabaknon. And when we were first asked about this opportunity, we thought, no way. There's no way we're going door to door selling New Testaments. That's way too far outside our comfort zone and something that we don't want to do, especially being British and very reserved. But we had attended some New Testament dedications, which is an event that happens whenever the New Testament has been translated into a language. The community come together and they celebrate, they praise God, they sing and dance and give speeches. And it's a great day, it's good fun, and you can't help but think what happens to these New Testaments after today's over, you know? And the sad reality is that a lot of the time, boxes of New Testaments end up being in stores and gather dust for years, and because the people don't distribute them, it's a real struggle in a lot of projects. So that had been something that had been on our hearts as a team, and we had been praying about that. And now we had the opportunity to go and give people the opportunity to buy a New Testament in their language, and we were saying, no, not us. So we chatted a bit more about it, and I shared that kind of conviction with the guys, and we decided that we would go, and we would, like, we felt God was calling us to do that, and we felt like we should step out and obey that. So when we arrived on the island, this was how we got around. On the back of extended motorcycles, not a helmet in sight. It was absolutely terrifying. And yeah, I think when God calls us to go, he doesn't just call us to go and leave us to deal with everything and all the struggles ourselves. So I went, and getting around the island, having to go on these bikes from village to village was terrifying for me. And something that I thought might get better and easier over the 2 weeks, and it absolutely didn't. It just was terrifying every single time, and you're holding on to this big bag of Bibles, and yeah, it's not fun. Yeah, you just step on the bike and you just pray, like, God, you've called us to come to this island, and you know that this is how we're going to get about, and just please protect us as we do this for you. And God was faithful in that and protected us 100%. And there was an incident where we were going around a tight corner in a village, and we were thankfully going very slow, and the bike did tip over, and no one was hurt, but God still protected us in that. And I just want to share with you a passage that came up over and over again while I was applying to grad team and throughout my time in the Philippines. So if you want to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if there's something that you feel God's calling you to go, somewhere he's calling you to go, or something he's calling you to do, and there's maybe something holding you back, like finances were for me, just take that to him. He is our Father, and he provides for us. We're his children, and he wants us to come to him with our hopes and fears and dreams, and when we're terrified, and tell him all about that, and he will provide for us. He knows exactly what we need, and he provides that. And finally, today I just want to say that going back to my last point, So yeah, when God called me to go and distribute the New Testaments around the island, and it was terrifying. The point I want to make with that is just that when God says go, he doesn't just say go and expect us to deal with all those problems on our own. He goes with us. And he knew that I'd be terrified of those journeys, and he gave me what I needed to overcome that, and he was with me all that time. But the final thing I want to say this morning is that when God says go, it doesn't necessarily mean halfway around the world. I had a great year serving God in the Philippines and with a mission organization, and you know, people are like, that's great, and it is great. But now that I'm back here in Northern Ireland and I'm going to start a course and I'm going to start a new job, does that mean that I'm serving God any less or not as well? Absolutely not. I just want to encourage you this morning that no matter what you do or what school you go to, what job you do, that God wants you to glorify him in that, like no matter what, or if we are missionaries. God might be calling you to go far away to the other side of the world and serve him with a mission organization. And if that's so, then amazing, go for it. But equally, he might be calling you to go across the street to your neighbor and spend 5 minutes with them and have a cup of tea with them. And God's equipped us to reach the people we live alongside and work alongside. We're the people in the best position to reach those people. So let's do that. I just want to pray to finish. Father, thank you that you are our provider. Thank you that you love us as the perfect Father, and we get to be called your children. Thank you that your love is too good to keep to ourselves, and I pray that you would be showing each person here how you want them to be sharing that love to others, whether that's here in Grey Abbey or further afield. Lord, will you show us the skills we've been gifted with and learn more of who you've designed each one of us to be, and help us to glorify you as we use those skills and giftings. And that will look so different for each one of us, and sometimes it's difficult to step out in faith when we feel we're the only one in a certain place or situation. So Lord, help us to be a family that supports one another and encourages one another in the places that you have placed us. And finally, Father, if you're calling people to be more missional, whether that's in friendships or family relationships that they currently have, or whether that's as a missionary abroad, Lord, would you continue to guide and lead them? And may they step out in obedience to you, knowing that you don't ask us to go and leave us to get on with it ourselves and face trials on our own, but you call us to go and you provide for every single need in that. Help us to listen to where you're calling us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kelsey. There were some lovely photographs there of where Kelsey was, lovely island and the palm trees, and you think, but she did share with me one story, and I'm sure if you want to talk to her, she had to keep her feet well tucked in at night because of the furry things that were running around the bottom of her bed. So while it did look lovely, there was plenty of other challenges there. Folks, we're just going to simply finish our service this morning by singing Here I Am, Lord, a reflection on that passage that we read earlier on, and a real reflection of all of our young people who have shared with us today. It might have been through some cousins who forced us to go, but that was God working. And God called Kelsey and all those other ones, and the young lads at the back who all went and served in whatever way possible. And that call is for everyone who knows and loves the Lord. So let's all stand and say, here we are, Lord, ready to serve today. Let's sing to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us, a day to worship you and to serve you and to be continually on the mission that you've called us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations. So Lord, help us to do that. And as we do, remind us that your grace, mercy, peace and love goes with all who know and love our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.